with you on this Monday morning edition. Evan Bray back in the chair tomorrow. I'm joined right now by Sam Turner. Sam is a Saskatchewan-born tech developer, and he's working on all kinds of cool technology to help improve the way we speak and communicate. We thought we'd get his story and find out more about Lyra. Hey, Sam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brent. It's great to be here.
You grew up in Saskatchewan, and then you ended up working in Silicon Valley. How'd that all come together?
Well, it was quite the journey, and I'm very proud to be from Saskatchewan. I grew up in North Battleford in Prince Albert, went to Carleton High School, and shortly after I graduated from university, I took the move down to San Francisco to start a career in technology.
You know, you're not the first guy I've met that's from Saskatchewan, was educated here, tech-wise, went to California. You're not just a lone wolf. There's other people that have followed this trail like you have. It's interesting.
Absolutely. I actually have one very close friend from my graduating class in high school who went down there with me.
So any life lessons, anything special you learned with your time in Silicon Valley?
Well, I'd say the one thing that really surprised me when I got down there is just how helpful the culture is. Perhaps not quite as helpful as a small town in Saskatchewan, but there's a real pay-it-forward mentality down there. People are very willing to help each other out, and I think everyone understands how difficult it is to start something from scratch, and it's a great, helpful culture.
Tell us about your app that you've developed.
Yeah, so our app is called Lyra. It's an AI job interview coach. So it helps anyone from a new grad to a seasoned professional to land their dream job.
So how does it work? If it's an app, I'm guessing, so then it's on my phone or on my computer. What do I do? Do I put in my information? Or, as you say, it's a coach. Does it basically ask me questions that I think I should expect when I go for a job interview?
Yeah, great question. So think of it like a job interview coach that fits in your pocket. So you provide your resume, you provide the job post of the job you'd like to get, and it creates a custom interview guide for you. So it's going to predict the questions that you're most likely to be asked in the interview. It'll help you create tailored answers that resonate with interviews based on your background. And then you can practice with a mock AI interviewer until you feel confident. So it's really about taking the guesswork out of that preparation so you can walk into the interview just knowing what to say.
Interesting. Was it easy to decide on tech development as your career focus and that brought you to this point now where you're developing a product like Lyra?
Well, it was a long and winding path, but I'd say now that I've got here, I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else.
When you think about what's happening in the world of technology and how it's developing so quickly and your brain power has come up with something like Lyra, is this something that AI might potentially, you know, replace you as, take away your job?
Well, I hope we're a ways off from that, but we are seeing quite a shift right now in the labor market. A lot of companies are automating away a lot of that entry-level work that might have otherwise gone to new grads. And so that's creating something called the experience paradox, right, where if you're a new grad, you need that job to get the experience, but it's hard to get the job without the experience, right? And we hope Lyra can be part of the solution to that to help these new grads and even people who are just looking for a career change to articulate their potential in an interview without necessarily years and years of experience on paper.
Why improving communication skills? Why was this your focus, your target? What brought you to that?
I guess I watched a lot of friends of mine kind of struggle to land the jobs that they really wanted, not because they lacked skills or even experience or talent, but because they just failed to articulate themselves well in an interview, right? There's a difference between being able to do the job and being able to sell yourself that you can do the job. And that's kind of the, you know, skill required in an interview. So we built Lyra as a way to sort of level the playing field to give everyone a shot at getting their dream job, regardless of their natural charisma.
How long has it been available?
We actually just launched last month, so we're pretty early. We just launched in November.
And are people able to access it pretty easily then? Is there a fee for it? Is it a free app? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So anyone who's interested in a career change or has an interview coming up, it's accessible at meetlira.ai. That's meetlira.ai. And it just takes about a minute to get set up, and then you're up and running, and it's free to try out.
How long did it take you to develop it?
It took us, I want to say about 4 months to get the initial product up and running, between product development and, you know, getting feedback from users and making sure it works just right.
And then when I think about this whole process of you and your team sitting around, did you have a number of different ideas of what you should work on first, or you knew in your heart this was going to be the first thing you were going to be doing?
This was always something that was at the back of my mind, and we did test a few other ideas, but this is the one that people really gravitated towards. And I'm glad they did, because it's a very exciting problem to work on.
Did you have a personal experience when it came to job interviews that also was a part of helping you develop this?
Well, you know, there's an experience called staircase wit, where you walk out of the room and then the perfect answer just hits you, right? And I've had that experience probably just as much as anyone. And so I thought, well, what if there was a product that could help you to have that great answer before you walk into the room rather than on your way out?
When you think about having Lira as my coach for a job interview, do you find it helps as far as people's nerves are concerned? You know, it's one thing to give them the information that they may face when they're in that interview, but just about the whole experience physically for them, does it help them calm their nerves a bit when going into that that interview?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like to compare it a little bit to a hockey player, you know, practicing drills before the big game, right? They're not doing that so that they can be robotic when the big game comes, but they're doing it so that those mechanics can sort of become second nature and they can go into that game feeling confident that they've got those fundamentals down. So Lira is there to help both with the confidence and then also, you know, taking all of that experience that you have and, you know, crafting an answer in an interview that is going to resonate with a hiring manager.
So what's next for you? You got Lira up and running, and I'm guessing it's something that you always have to spend some time on, fixing any bugs or improving it or having new versions. But have you got another project in mind for your team?
We're just focused on Lira right now. Our goal for 2026 is to help 10,000 people to land their dream jobs. And we're really excited to get to work on it.
That's great. Good information, Sam. We wish you all the best, and thanks for sharing your story and the story of Lira with us here today.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be here.
Absolutely. Sam Turner, our guest, the Saskatchewan-born tech developer, did the whole in Saskatchewan education down to California, Silicon Valley, and now on his own and developing his first project, Lira, the job interview coach. Not a bad idea. Okay, we're 15 minutes away from the top of the hour. We've got a little bit more to go here. We're going to take a look at these numbers that have come out here this morning on the cost of living, inflation, and some things that are impacting your cost of living. This is the Evan Bray Show. We continue till 12:30 on News Talk 650, CKOM and 980 CJME. I don't know if this makes you feel any better about your economic situation, but Stats Canada today with their regular inflation report says inflation stayed steady at 2.2% for the past month, month of November here. Inflation running 2.2%. So the good news as we're looking around today, certainly good for the time being. Gasoline prices are down in a lot of locations. I don't know what it's like where you are, but I know when I drove into work this morning in Saskatoon, I saw a 114, I saw a 118. So we'll take that. Boy, gas prices are just crazy. Try to figure out how they fluctuate wasn't all that long ago. Doesn't seem that long ago that we had gas prices up around the $1.60 range. So we're happy. Happy for the time being that we've got lower gas prices. Whether or not they stay through the Christmas driving season, well, time will tell. Beef prices, as we all know, continue to be high, and there's no end in sight to that. In fact, I saw a report saying that beef prices in Canada are expected to keep climbing through 2026. Right now they're saying beef prices, record highs, up 35% in October compared with the five-year average, and they say the retail price of beef is going to keep creeping up next year. It's all about supply and demand, though, is what the story is. The beef herd, the cattle herd in Canada is close to an all-time low, and the cattle numbers in the U.S. are even lower. They say the size of the herd is at its lowest level in Canada since the 1980s. In the United States, there haven't been this small a beef herd in over 60 years. Wow. Actually, closer to 80 years is what they're saying, that there's been so few cattle. And it's starting to show itself in some ways where Tyson Foods, one of the big beef processors in the United States, recently shut down one of their big plants in Nebraska. That plant processed up to 5,000 cattle a day. They've also cut back operations at one of their big Texas slaughterhouses. And they're saying there's just no cattle. There's just no beef. So if you are in the beef industry or a rancher, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Times are good. So what does that do to your thinking as a cattle person then? Are you thinking, gee, maybe I should try to grow my herd? You know, and I saw one article that said a cattle herd is not like a chicken flock. You know, you can rebuild your chicken flock pretty quickly. A cattle herd is like an ocean liner. It takes a while to get it to turn around. And I'm seeing predictions saying it could be another couple of years, assuming the effort is made to build up the cattle herd in Canada and the United States. And it's giving a lot of ranchers pause for thought. You know, are we thinking, well, maybe this is the time to get out? Do we sell when prices are high like they are right now? Do we maintain the status quo, depending on your age and your financial situation? Or do we say, I'm going to get into cattle ranching? Do many people do that nowadays? You know, just quit your job, say, I'm going to get some land and I'm going to get a bunch of cattle and make a bunch of beef here. I can't imagine there's a lot of people in that particular spot in life. But it's people are still buying beef. You go to your grocery store, and maybe the selection of beef isn't what it used to be, because I'm guessing they're probably being a little more particular in what they put on the shelves, cuts their impact as far as what they're spending. But everything you see about the retail industry in this country, people are still buying beef. It's maybe more of a treat in that, but people still love their beef. Of course we love our beef. Man, I can't imagine going through life without having beef. I like my beef, I like my chicken, I like my pork, I like my fish. But 2.2% increase, basically holding steady for the rate of inflation, according to Stats Canada. Some other good news to talk about besides gas prices on the way down. It was nice to see that Dick Van Dyke had his 100th birthday. I saw people talking online about Dick Van Dyke and his longevity. And there was one case of a man who was 70 years old and he was super fit. He lifted weights and he jogged and did all this resistance training. And somebody else said, yeah, look at Dick Van Dyke. He's 100 years old and all he ever did was dance. But that's it. It's keeping yourself loose and limber, I guess, and having a good attitude. So we wish him all the best. All the other interesting people from this past weekend. What an interesting weekend in the NFL. Did you catch any of the games? Boy, NFL's been so fun lately. Just interesting to see a very different season. Who's going to be in the playoffs here in the coming weeks ahead? Some takeaways from yesterday that I loved. You know, you look at Dick Van Dyke being 100 years old. How about Philip Rivers? Philip Rivers hasn't played as a quarterback for 5 years in the NFL. And the Indianapolis Colts were lost. Like they had nobody to take the quarterback role. So they made a quick deal with Philip Rivers and he showed up at the age of 44 and played a pretty good game yesterday. They didn't win. Last minute field goal gave Seattle the win against the Indianapolis Colts, but it was cool to see him out there. And he clearly didn't crap the bed as a lot of people thought he was going to do. And what makes Philip Rivers all that more an interesting guy that I've always kind of thought that's cool. The guy's 44 years old. He has 10 children. The youngest is 2. The oldest is 23. And he became a grandfather with the birth of his grandson just over a year ago. And he keeps plugging along. Good on him. Philip Rivers, nice to see. I don't know if he's got any future beyond that game that they played yesterday, but he's still out there doing his thing. He's a devout Catholic, I see, as well. I saw some people wondering if he was Mormon, perhaps, but no, Philip Rivers, a devout Catholic and a guy who's always incorporated his family life in his professional life, so we wish him all the best. The other news coming out of the NFL yesterday, Kansas City Chiefs will not be in the playoffs. Boy, did you see that coming? Well, of course, they've had a pretty terrible season, so I guess it's not a surprise if you've been following them. And then I guess for the team as well, the difficult news to take, the fact that they didn't make the playoffs, but then we've got a torn ACL for their star quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's to the point they say this could actually keep him out of the action next season. The Chiefs officially eliminated from playoff contention with the Chargers loss on the weekend, and some exciting football coming our way in the coming weeks here. I don't have a team so much. I used to, because my oldest son, since he was a little boy, is a Chicago Bears fan, and every weekend that they play, I get a text from him telling me how his Bears have done, and I always kind of poo-pooed it, but hey, the Bears are doing pretty good, so I might have to get back on the Bears bandwagon. But I like Buffalo, too. I like Buffalo, too. Fun stuff to watch. Okay, coming up, news. And then we're going to revisit an interview with a member of the Saskatoon City Police, crime, fraud, commercial crime, that sort of stuff, talking about the grandparent scam. Gosh, it just breaks your heart when you see people get sucked in by these criminals and lose thousands and thousands of dollars. And then on top of that, he talks about some, well, high quality counterfeit $100 bills, not stuff that's been patched together, but somebody is passing $100 bills in Saskatchewan and Alberta, and they'd like your help tracking them down. We'll get into that on the final segment of the Evan Bray Show in just a few minutes on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.